In the beginning of this week's parsha, Moshe is rebuking Bnei Yisrael for different sins that they encountered, that they committed through the course of their stay in the Midbar. And he says to them, in the first parak, in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them that it was because of them, because of Bnei Yisrael, with their sin, with the Meraglim, with the people who spied out the land of Israel and came back with a negative report, that it's because of them that he won't be able to enter into Israel. Moshe blames it on the Jewish people. It's your fault. The sin of the Meraglim made me lose my chance to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban asks that that's against the Psukim in Parshas Chukas. In Parshas Chukas it says that the reason Moshe wasn't able to enter into Eretz Yisrael was because he hit the rock. Something that happened with the rock. Instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock in May Meriva. But because of that episode back then, that was the reason he wasn't allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So which one is it? And the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says that really it was because of the sin of the Meraglim that Moshe wasn't allowed in. And he introduces his answer with three very important statements. Okay. Statement number one is that the Gemara says in the Maseches Tainis and Daf Chavtes that the Meraglim, when they returned from their spying of the land, they returned on the eighth day of the month of Av. They returned on that day. That night, they cried. Psukim say the night after the report, the Jewish people, they all cried. They cried, didn't know what to do. Cried in despair. That crying, the night after the eighth of Av, was the ninth of Av, Tisha B'Av. And it says in the Mishnah, in Tainus and Daf Chavav Mebeis, that Hashem said that that day of Tisha B'Av, the day that they wept, that they cried, would be established as a day of weeping for all the generations. And that's why the Mishnah says in Chavav Mebeis that both Batei Mikdash, both temples, were destroyed on the day of Tisha B'Av. So that's point number one. The Meraglim returned on day 8. Bnei Yisrael cried on day 9. And that was set as a day for weeping for eternity. The second concept that the Orach Chaim HaKadosh introduces is that really it was Bnei Yisrael that was supposed to be eventually destroyed because of the sin of the Meraglim. But because of the tremendous compassion that Hashem had on us, His love for the Jewish people, He took out the punishment on the sticks and stones, on the Beis HaMikdash, in the physical temple. But really, it should have been the Jewish people. For example, the Medrash tells us, the Pasuk in Tehillim, the Perek in Tehillim, the whole chapter in Tehillim Ayin Tes, starts off Mizmur L'Asaf. It's a song of Asaf. And the Medrash asks, Rashi brings this in Kedushin, he says, "What? It's all about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Is this a song? This is exciting? This is a kina. One of the lamentations. This is a horrible... This is a kina la'asaf, it should have said. Not a song of Asaf." And the Midrash explains that no, really, the Jewish people were the ones who should have been destroyed because of the sin. But Hashem, through His compassion, took out the punishment on just sticks and stones. So on some level, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is a reason for happiness. Because it should have been us. And Hashem took it out on the physical temple. So therefore it's a mizmor. On some level, it is a song. That's point two of his introduction. And his final point of introduction is based on a chazal. It's unclear exactly where it is. There's something similar to it in Maseches Sota and Daf Tes that says that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have entered Eretz Yisrael, he would, of course, been the one that built the Beis HaMikdash. And if that would have happened, never could have been destroyed. If Moshe, the high-level Moshe, would have been the one that would have gone into Eretz Yisrael and built the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash would never have been destroyed. And based on those three introductions, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains why it was the sin of the Meraglim that really caused Moshe not to enter Eretz Yisrael. Because the sin of the Meraglim, again, happened on the 9th of Av. The crying happened on the 9th of Av. At that point, the Jewish people should have been destroyed. Hashem said, no, I'm going to take it out on the temple because I love the Jewish people so much. I'll take it out in the sticks and stones. But if Moshe would have been allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael and build the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem never would have been able to take it out on the sticks and stones. He would have had to have taken it out on us. And therefore, because of the sin of the Meraglim, it worked out, actually to our benefit, that Moshe wouldn't have been the one able to enter Eretz Yisrael. Moshe couldn't enter. And therefore, he was telling the Jewish people that it's because of you, with your sin, that I couldn't come in. But still, in Chukas it said that it was because of the stone, of what happened with the rock. So how do you resolve that? And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says something very interesting. He says, although it would have been true that with the sin of the Meraglim alone, the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu would not have been able to enter into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe could have offset that metzias, could have offset that idea, that punishment. By doing what? By sanctifying Hashem's name in a greater way by Mei Meriva, by the rock. If Moshe would have gone ahead and sanctified Hashem's name over there, although there was a sin of the Meraglim which no one really did tshuva for yet, Moshe could have done something over and beyond in order to change the way things had to have been. He would have been able to go to Eretz Yisrael, and nothing would have happened with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Sometimes, we learn from here, that although maybe we do have a sin, and we haven't yet done tshuva, but if we are able to do something beyond, we're able to go further, and do some holy act in another area, we could perhaps offset certain punishments that might have occurred from the first episode. And the truth is, this comes out a little bit from a Gemara. The Gemara says, in Maseches Bava Metzia, that the reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because of... It says the reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed is because people didn't go lifnim mishur sadin. They didn't go beyond the letter of the law. So Tosus asks, we know that that's not true. The Gemara in Yuma says that the reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because of sinas chinam, baseless hatred. So is it because they didn't go beyond the letter of the law? Or was it because of sin eschina, baseless hatred? And Tosis answers, it was both. Okay, what does that mean? It was both. So the Maral explains in that Gemara in Bava Metzia that really, of course, it was because of baseless hatred, sin eschina, that was the reason. But if the Jewish people at that time would have gone lefnim mishur sadin, they would have gone beyond the letter of the law with their tzitzis, beyond the letter of their law with their acts of kindness towards other people, they'd have gone beyond what they were obligated in. That would have made it that Hashem would also go beyond the letter of the law. According to the basic law, we should have been punished. Sinas chinam. But if we would act in a way of going beyond the letter of the law, so too Hashem would act in that way as well. And that's based on an idea that the Nefesh HaChaim writes, that Hashem acts towards us like a shadow. Whatever we act down here, Hashem tzilcha yad minacha, the way we act in this world, Hashem acts in accordance. So if we go beyond, Hashem will also act beyond. Hashem will go beyond. So even though, again, we didn't do tshuva for sinas chinam yet, but if we would have gone beyond the letter of the law, we could have offset the punishment of sinas chinam, of baseless hatred, and we could have come out meritorious on some level. We wouldn't have gotten that punishment. And we see this idea once again in a medrash. The medrash, very, very powerful medrash. The medrash in the introduction to Eicha says, it relates what happened in the heavens when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What was going on? And Hashem instructed Yirmiyahu to go and summon Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe from their graves for them to be defendants, to try to defend the Jewish people. Because they know how to cry. Our avos, our forefathers, they know how to seek mercy for the Jewish people. And each one came and spoke back the amazing selfless acts that they had performed during their lifetime. With the intention, of course, of arousing compassion from Hashem, mercy from Hashem. Avram says, I was willing to bring my son Yitzchak. Yitzchak said, even after my father put me on there, I was willing to stay on and be that sacrifice. Yaakov said, I put myself in front of all my children when Esav was coming. I risked my life. I went over there. Yaakov also added, I had tremendous pain in raising my children. Dina was captured. Yosef was taken away from him. I had tremendous amount of pain. Don't you have compassion, Hashem? For the children, I had compassion. I was in pain. I cried over my children. I cared about my children. I stood in front of them. What about your compassion? And the Medrash says nothing worked. It wasn't enough. Then Moshe said, he asked for pity, saying that he gave his life for the Jewish people throughout the Midbar. They're always causing him problems. And Moshe kept on davening and caring about them and taking care of them. That didn't help it either. That was it. There was nothing to do. And at that moment, the Medrash says that Rachel, Imenu, our matriarch Rachel, jumped up and said as follows, Hashem, you know that Yaakov loved me very much. And he worked for me to marry me 7 years, seven hard years to marry me. And when the 7 years were up, that day, our wedding day arrived. My father decided that he was going to pull a trick. He's going to put my sister, Leah, instead of me. And this was very hard for me. I waited for so long to marry Yaakov. And here he's going to marry my sister. So I told Yaakov about my father's scheme. The Medrash says, Rachel told Yaakov about the scheme. And in order to prevent her father from being successful, Yaakov and Rachel exchanged certain signs that they would give, so he would know that it's really Rachel over there, not Leah. But then, after they exchanged the signs, Rachel had tremendous regret for what she had did. Her sister is going to be embarrassed. She's going to be caught in the middle of the whole thing. It's going to be horrible. And she really felt bad. And Rachel tells Hashem, I was able to control my immense desire to marry Yaakov so that my sister shouldn't experience this extreme embarrassment. And I gave over the signs to my sister Leah. Not only that, the Medrash says, but Rachel tells Hashem, I hid in the room. I was there. So when Yaakov was speaking to Leah, I would answer so that he would recognize my voice and think that Rachel was in the room with him. Unbelievable what she did. So that her sister wouldn't become hurt. I performed chesed towards her. I wasn't jealous, and I wouldn't let her be embarrassed. Hashem, I am made up of flesh and blood. I'm a nothing. And I still wasn't jealous. And I didn't let Leah go out and be disgraced. You, the master of the universe, the king, Hashem, why are you jealous of these other gods, quote unquote, who are made of nothing? Sticks, stones, what are they? And you send the Bnei Yisrael out from their land to be killed by the hand of their enemies because of these other people. Immediately, that aroused the compassion, the rachmanus of Hashem. And he said, Rachel, for you, because of you, I'll return Bnei Yisrael home. So we see that there wasn't tshuva yet done necessarily on these averos. But it was because of the compassion. Rachel going beyond. She didn't. No one would have thought that Rachel was a bad person if she didn't give over the signs. Right? She did not have to give over those signs. She was entitled to her husband for 7 years already. But she went beyond. She said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do something extra. I'm going to go beyond to help the other person. To help my sister. I feel for her. I care about her. And because of that, that aroused the rachmanus, the compassion from Hashem. And the Maseilas Yesharim writes the same thing. In the beginning of the 19th chapter, he says that a person could have sins, he could perform perhaps averos, but if someone performs chesed for others, the more he does that, the more Hashem will also have compassion and forgive him for his sins. You do more, you go beyond, Hashem goes beyond for us. And sometimes during this time period where thinking about sinas chinam, we can't hate the other person, make sure not to hate him. But it's much more than that. It's not just refraining from the negative. Okay, I won't hate him. So I'll just go to Divin Shiva, I'll never see him again, and I won't hate him. It will be perfect. We have to go beyond. We have to look to love each other, to look for the good in each other, to bring out the good in each other. What did he do exactly? It was so bad. Forgive. We have to look where they need. Other people have needs and give to them. We have to go beyond. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should all do tshuva for all our sins. But if it doesn't work out, and we're not able to get there yet, but our act of going beyond, lefnei mishuras hadin, caring about others, loving about others, doing things that we never would have thought we would have done for other people, would arouse the compassion, the mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and will be zocha to celebrate this upcoming week with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash instead of crying on Tisha B'Av.